Y'all talk to me. Let me hear it.
Okay. I thought, Tavon, are you going?
Yeah, you go.
Okay, the question guides your research, and the title is what grabs your audience's attention.
Okay, so the Abdullah, we got a, are we clear about the research question, at least this point, to guide your, you and Nima's research?
It's Alma's, and just so you know, I've emailed Alma already 2 times within the past 3 days, and I haven't gotten anything back. And I know, and she's not picking up her phone for some reason.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to. Would you CC me on what you emailed to her? I'll then follow up with an email to her parents. Okay, so forward me the emails that you sent to her. And I apologize, Nima. Yes, it is Alma. Okay. The so we're clear about that research question. Also, Abdullah, begin, you know, I'm glad that you emailed her, and I'd encourage you to begin your research for your article, and just, you know, keep moving forward. You also can keep me posted when, if she's not communicative for whatever reason, okay? Safia, you might can help out there and reach out to Alma, since you also have a relationship with her. You think you can intervene, get through?
I can try. She just doesn't really like work with technology that well. Like, she doesn't check her email and stuff that often. But I did give Abdullah her phone number today.
Okay, great. Well, you know, any assistance you can give, you know, you know, we, there is formal, but then there is informal. You know, we basically try to get the job done, and so we're, you know, not so much into, you know, whose fault it is as much as into trying to make it happen. Okay, so that would be appreciative if you can use your influence to get through. All right, that question is done. Now, there was also a question about how long your articles are, and your discussion with Mama Ma'at, and I know that some of the stuff that you talked about, the, you know, we're reviewing and even some changing, and so she and I had a good conversation. What do you recall her telling you in terms of what's the length of your articles? This is not your investigative reports, this is your articles, your weekly articles. What length? An answer, sir.
Okay. I asked her that, and she said that there's not a minimum, and if we write too much, then she'll just cut it down.
Okay. All right. Great. Now here's what we talked about, and here's what the rubrics are or is to guide you in terms of length. Who knows the research? Good. It depends on the topic. It also depends upon the being able to answer the reporter's questions. Sometimes call it. Some people call this the seven servants. What are the questions that reporters are trained to answer when they go on a scene or they're doing a report? What are the questions? Keep it coming. There you go. Keep it coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There you go. Okay. Now, you got who, what, when, where, how. Okay. And for us, there's one more. And what's the relationship of this to African people? Okay. And that can be big African people, it can be youth, it can be old people, it can be generic, it can be diasporan, or whomever, okay? So, if you are handling a topic, the question is, you are answering these questions, to the extent that they're relevant, okay? Who, you know, when was it? Where was it? Now, this why is part of how you can deal with the relationship to African people, and that is, why does this matter? To black people or to whomever and or, you know. So you want to make sure that when you're writing something, you always, because that really is your hook. Like, I don't want to read nothing that is not, if you're not as a writer clear about how it matters, because that guides how you're going to tell the story. Okay. So why does this matter? To whom? Okay. And that whom has to include us, all right? So that guides the length of your report. Okay. I can tell you right now, you don't want to just answer those like, okay, you know, most times you got to develop that a little bit, okay? You know, like, you know, where you're not talking about a one-liner, you know, where or why. You really are developing it some, okay? So, and part of the skill is how do you tell that story, okay, of who, what, when, where, why, how, okay? The more how is it, the more you have what's called process, and you'll begin to use some of the skills that we talked about and we learned last semester as you tell exposition. And so I encourage you to as you tell the story, go back and review some of your why you try how now you try it, because you'll find that the way you tell this answer these questions will be improved. And so you're not just saying, well, this article is written for teenagers, da da da. And the reason it matters is blah 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 blah. You know, you might actually have that in the dialogue, or you might have a story, a scene at the beginning that tells why it matters and to whom. And you know that may be first or it may be last. You see what I'm saying? So, all right, that's the answer to the question about how long it has to be, Tavon. And so in addition to whatever the subject matter treatment is, it's also answering these questions in ways that will keep the reader interested. Everybody on the same page with that? How do I say kompende in Kiswahili? I know how to say chwi, aini or debi, yes or no. Y'all help me, because I'm not going to make all of the classes with Sister Caprile, so I'm going to lean on y'all to help me start integrating some Kiswahili into my instruction. So how would I say yes or no or comprende or you got it? You hadn't gotten that yet?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we've learned anything like that. There is... what was that word she said for welcome? Like, you can go ahead and say something now. Like, what was that word? I don't think I wrote that word down.
Did you get my comment?
Did I get your what?
Email.
Oh, just a second. Let me check it. No. It's not come in yet. You send it to Wakessa at Gmail?
Yes.
Alrighty. Oh, there it is. It'd be great if I click my inbox as opposed to my compose box. Okay. Abdullah, one of the things that I want when y'all get together, or what I want you to do, even if you're not able to, is to send her an email with the revised question, and also with your thinking in terms of the categories. And just your suggestion, she can hit you back with another one. Okay, make sure you email that to me as well. So that you know she gets the benefit of your thinking ahead of time. How do you think you will proceed? This is also what you can also use this writer's meeting for. Sometimes you're stuck. Sometimes you know, Safia will ask, okay, show me what you got. Where are you going? Because I'm not going to be here every time. I will be here as I'm needed. I have this scheduled on my schedule. But at the same time, I literally want y'all to grow in a sense of that you got to get this out. And you're talking about a quality publication with your name on it. And therefore, you want to push each other and use each other. Sometimes using each other for ideas to get stuck, get unstuck, and other times to be challenging of each other when the writing is not on point, okay, or you have a different perspective, I don't know if you've ever. I used to be an editor for a magazine called Southern Exposure, and we would get together. And we had people who wrote stuff and submitted it. As an editor, I never will forget the first time I'm editing a piece that someone had put in, and I'm just cutting this out, and they says, well, excuse me, the rule here is if you take something out, you got to put something in its place. It's like, oh, it's a lot. It's easy to say, oh, that's wrong. I don't like that. That's not good. But now for you to put something in its place, that means you got to get into the head of the person and put something in its place that fits, that says what they're trying to say. It just kind of smooths out the edges, but doesn't violate what they're trying to say. Whoo, man, that was some work. But it was good, but we would sit around and say no, yes, and so that's the kind of what you're going to be happening here. I don't want it to be where this is Abdullah, so nobody can touch it. This is Safia, so nobody can touch it. This is Nima, so da da da. It's like, oh no, this is what you come for, and you read each other's work, and you give each other feedback, and you challenge each other because what's coming out here is a publication. So it's loving and it's nurturing. And it's challenging, okay? It's appreciations and it's also options, all right? All right, so those are the two things so far that we've covered. How long is guided by the questions, the research question to get clear. What is the debate question, Tavon?
The debate question is how music influences our youth today.
That's not a debate question. That's a research question. Safia, would you shape that into, take your shot at shaping that topic into a debate question for Tavon? All right. I got it. I see positive or negative music's influence on today's youth, positive or negative. And then we got on youth today. Okay. Okay. The statement would be it is positive or it is negative in terms of the influence. Is that how you set it up in terms of y'all talking about it? And which one of y'all is debating the negative side and which one of you debating the positive side?
Bible Circle, can you see my entries on the section?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just checking. Because when we did the first debate, Mama Ma said that it had to be a yes or no question. So would
right.
you rather go with a yes or no question or the positive and negative?
Yeah, I like the is the popular. Well, basically a position, once you get a general kind of question and you answer it, you state it in the sense of one position is popular music or music, whichever one. I think you're going to have to narrow that down, okay? So popular music is good for youth today. And so, yes or no, that would work, or is the music's influence on today's youth, positive or negative, that would work in the sense of you're taking a clear position. Either one of those would work. One emphasizes the influence up front. The other, it has it implied, but it clearly needs to be in that kind of form. And then you take a position, and Tavon, your position would be, which depending on which side you took, you know, whether it's popular music, you know, has a positive influence on youth today, popular music is good for youth today, or popular music does not. And then, of course, you got to define what you mean by popular music. Then once you begin your debate, and you also got to talk about what youth you're talking about. For example, are you talking about heavy metal, which is popular among some people? Are you talking about hip hop, and I don't know any of the other variation in terms of the genres that youth are into. And you want to be clear that what do you mean by youth? Just so that you kind of define that and you define your terms. And the statement is, it is good or does have a positive influence or it doesn't. And that's what you're out to prove and debate. So, given that you had, so Safiya, I do see what you have, and you're right. Both of those actually, if you take the side, you twist that into a yes or no or affirmative statement. Music, popular music, has a positive influence on you today, or popular music is good for you today, and the converse is negative. It doesn't have, okay? That's how I kind of blended them together, so I see them. I appreciate that. Does that make sense, Safiya?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, and you're right. It has to be you can't be maybe so, yes, it does. No, it don't. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. You got to take a position. All right, so with that, Tavon, have you decided, or you and Allende decided, or did y'all yesterday talk about who would take what position?
No, we didn't. I believe he wasn't here. But if he was, I know that we didn't.
You mean you don't remember whether he was here or not? Come on now. He was just yesterday. And you can ignore my little light coming on. I have it on voice activation because I'm also typing. So you don't have to respond to when you hear my light. You'll hear my voice. But sometimes when I'm just breathing, my light will come on. So, Tavon, how do you propose to decide which way you're going to debate it?
Okay. I will let him pick. It's up to him. It doesn't make a difference to me.
Okay. So you're going to take the classic, whatever the position you have, you're going to research it and defend that position. Right? So it'd be interesting. All right. That's an excellent thing. When I worked for a college newspaper, the black college newspaper, actually, I went to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and we created a newspaper called the Black Ink. And with that, we had a debate, and we would often take a topic, and then we flipped the coin. Whoever came up was to debate that issue on that issue. And actually, I debated the very issue that y'all debated last, Safiya and Abdullah debated last time, and that is black college or for black students or white college. So I'm glad that you have that attitude that you're going to, debate either side. You need to email him. You need to call him. Okay. With the specific focus that we've had here and ask him, because y'all got to start researching. You can't just like, okay, I'll get with him, I can't get with him, whatever. And if he doesn't respond, then you choose a side and go for it. Okay. And again, just as last time, you have to develop a paper first. You have to do the research and develop that. And because we're going to record this, and when we publish the paper, we want the debate, the audio of the debate, as well as the written stuff, to be a part of the paper. So it's kind of like a podcast, you know, piece. All right. The only other piece that I had on my agenda for this, and I'm available for any questions or anything that you need, is the Mama Mott said, Abdullah, that you didn't know how or didn't think it was good to relate that Lance Armstrong article to black people. Is that true? Okay.
I didn't necessarily say it was not good.
Great. Well, tell me what you said. I don't want to go off half cock. What's your position? What was the issue that she raised, and the issue that you have with it, and what's your position? So we don't. Maybe there's not even an issue.
My thing was first. I was first off. I was like, I'm having a hard time finding a current sports event or sports article or some kind of sports current event that I could relate to African people, especially like since today's news is more like, you know, this person won today and this team won today, or he's getting this kind of contract. And then on the Lance Armstrong subject, she was like, do you think that there is, in any sport, there is, what did she say? That a black person would be under the same scrutiny that Lance Armstrong would. And she said any sport. And I was like, well, since basically every single major sports organization is dominated by black athletes anyway, you couldn't say that, you know, they're being discriminated against or anything, because in the NBA, I know it's over 80% of the players in there are black. I know in football, it's over 80%. In baseball, it's about 40 or 50%. So
that's not true. That's not true. Not, I don't mean the statistics. I mean, because black people have a majority doesn't mean, for example, that there is not discrimination within the ranks, for example, when it comes to drug testing. Okay? That is, you can have majority black people, but you can have that the white people who are in a sport, there may be, I'm not saying there is because that's not my area of research, that white people who play are researched differently, are treated differently when it comes to drug stuff or stuff that's wrong or whatever. I mean, I'll give you me just example. The point is, and this is where I want you to begin to develop your keenness. Statement one, black people are the majority. True. Statement two, therefore there is no discrimination against black people because we are the majority in the sport. That's a fallacious argument and claim, okay? I know what came to mind. Mitch Kupchak came to mind. Mitch Kupchak was a classmate of mine at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And he also played with Phil Ford and for a minute with Walter. And he came the group right before Michael Jordan, okay? Jordan was at UNC when I was leaving. And so there was this overlap. So I knew and went to class with the folks who end up playing in NBA. Mitch Kupchak now is head of management or some management position at the Lakers, okay? Well, UNC was a feeder program for white boys to go into the NBA, and Dean Smith would make sure they know their fundamentals and whatever. Now, they were not really comparable in terms of skill at the level to the black players. At the same time, they were guaranteed positions even though their skill level was less, okay, and most often would find their way into management. much more in terms of the percentages of them finding their way into management positions than comparable number of black people, okay, who had a greater skill level. Now, I understand home cooking, so, you know, I got it. I know people are going to take care of their own. At the same time, so even though there was a majority of black people in the league, there was a point where there was a unwritten rule in the NBA that you're going to have a white boy on the floor, even if you got brothers on the bench who are better. Because white people literally were writing saying, I want to see white people on the floor. I don't want to see all black people. I mean, this is written history. I mean, I was a part of it. Okay. And so you always had, when you had Jordan and Pippen, you always had, a Paxson. Now Paxson couldn't play defense. Paxson, only offense he had was a 3-point shot, and Jordan had to feed it to him in his sweet spot, which Jordan knew how to do. So they shaped an offense around his limited skill. No way a brother would have got paid to just have that limited skill, because you also had to be able to take people on the dribble, you know, and defend. So even though black people were a majority, and on that Chicago team, black people were a majority, there was home cooking for Paxson, as well as Mix Kupchak and others. So do you understand that even though you may have a majority, it doesn't mean that there is not discrimination? Talk to me.
Okay. I'm not sure, because when I look at it now, I'm talking about like currently, like especially with this whole the recent...
Wait. I want you to first get the concept. See, I'm not... I want you to understand, can you get the concept that a place can be majority one thing, but that doesn't prohibit there to be from there being some kind of discrimination? I'm not dealing with, I gave you examples from my period so that you understand the concept that you can have a majority of black people, but that doesn't necessarily equate to the fact that there is no discrimination. I want you to understand that concept. Wait a minute. No. First, I want you to see, because you made the conclusion. If you understand the concept, then that means you can investigate whether there is. If you already have in your head that there is a majority, ergo, there is no discrimination, then you blocked it.
I never said there never was.
I didn't say never was. No. Don't put words in my mouth. I didn't say never was. I want you to understand conceptually, can you hold in your mind that there can be, black people can be a majority in a sport, and there also can be discrimination going on at the same time? Then that's so keep holding that, because you, what you said earlier is, when you look and you see majorities in a sport, you were saying to my mama, therefore, no, you can't see how there could be discrimination because we are majority. And I want you to not put those two together. That it may not be, but it may be in a certain particular way. When it comes to drug testing, black people may be treated differently than white people are treated. That we are a majority doesn't necessarily mean that that earlier statement is not true. It doesn't mean it automatically is true either. Okay? It's worthy of investigation. You can't dismiss it because we are the majority. And I want you to, I'm really targeting I want you to write this down, because you make those assumptions without checking. You make conclusions, and part of you as a writer and a researcher has to check. And y'all, one reason I'm taking time with this is because this is how I want y'all to go at each other. You want to challenge the assumptions, or else your readers are going to do it. And they're going to say, oh man, that's not necessarily true, just cause this. And they're not talking about just disagreeing with you. They're talking about your fundamental positions of saying this, therefore this, automatically. So are y'all with me? I mean, Tavon, Safiya, Nima, do you see what I'm talking about? I'm not saying whether you agree with me or agree with Abdullah. I'm not dealing with that. I want you to see how Abdullah's assumption that because we are the majority, therefore there can't be any discrimination, as Mama Ma'at was suggesting that he look.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
I think, Abdullah, do you understand me?
Okay, could you... Okay. How am I supposed to find something current? I'm not talking about 20, 30 years ago. I'm talking at least something current that is going on that, like, I can relate. I can't find anything. It's, like, literally, if you turn on ESPN, or if you go to their website, or if you go to NBA's website, or NFL's website, or MLB's website, or NHL's website, or MLS's website, even Arena Football website, you won't find anything like that. All you'll find is just, you know, players doing this, people winning this.
Very good. That means you got to go someplace else. I'm glad, because I don't want you to just do a carbon copy of what ESPN has already said. Nobody wants to read your stuff. All it is just a digest. They'll read your stuff if there's some extra spice to it, if there's something, you know, different. It's not just a compilation of what they said. What's your extra piece to it? What questions can you raise? You mean nobody is writing about it? See, notice what you just said. You just named at the top 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? You have just outlined that you have to find other sources, my brother. And there are people writing. So that means you got to be able to know who are the black people who are writing and asking these questions that may not show up on their website. And then you could contrast. While on ESPN's website, or these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're silent on this matter. A legitimate question has been raised by XYZ person. Boom. That's what will bring value. Otherwise, they don't need you. You just put a link to their website. Yours cannot be just a carbon copy. So write down in your notes. Go ahead. Yes, come on.
Isn't it supposed to be about the biggest sports news? I mean,
no. Who said it has to be the biggest sports news?
What is it going to be? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be like a dull thing to write about if I don't have, like, I don't know. I mean, we'll just see how it goes.
But no. You got. You ain't gonna just see how it goes. Okay. This is not just getting through it, son. This is how would you take a subject that is big news and you write about it and add things or ask questions that others are not asking. Let's use a team here. So how would you do that in your other areas? Because Abdullah is stuck. He doesn't see how if you're writing it from a different perspective, you know, it's going to be dull. So given the different areas that y'all are writing in, how might y'all take a subject that's big and bring a different freshness to it? Everybody kind of weigh in on that from your perspective and the area that you're going to be writing about. And I know this is hypothetical, but give it your best shot.
Do you mean just about sports?
No, about the area that you're going to be writing about.
Okay, I guess one thing you could do is kind of look at it not from the eyes of the writer that's writing about it. You can, like, read the information, and then you can, like, see somebody they're talking about and then try to switch it up so you're looking at it through someone else's eyes. So you can, like, kind of switch it so you can get a different take on the topic.
Great. And see if you can come up with an example of how you might do that. And I know it's hypothetical and off the top of your head for another area that you're thinking of. While we hear Safiya and Tavon weigh in.
Okay. Maybe in education, you can take the big... Let me think about that first.
So, okay, I have a question. You're asking them basically to give how they would do their topics or their section from an African perspective?
No, they can include that. What we're asking them to do, what you said is, oh man, I thought this was supposed to be about the biggest news stories. And it's not going to be about the biggest news stories. It's just going to be boring, you know? And my whole thing was, you know, let them show you how you can take something that's big in their area, that's popular or people talking about, okay, or has wide interest. So you got the ear because it has wide interest, you know, and how do you bring a perspective that's not just based on what they already wrote? Did you ask a different question or bring a different perspective or have a different voice and bring it up? You know, it is not that you just repeat their words. You know, this is what they said, and they said, and they said, give me a break, okay? You're bringing something different. You know, I could take the Lance Armstrong piece. You know, I put a couple of things in there. For example, are there any black bikers? Are there any black bikers associations? Okay. You might find out. Email them. Call them. See what they write. See if there's anything right about it. You're like, is this relevant to that at all? What do black bikers think about Lance Armstrong and think about the drug testing piece? Wow. Some people may even not know that there are black bikers. All they see is Lance Armstrong. Or maybe there aren't black bikers. Maybe there's a tremendous drop-off. So I start off with Lance Armstrong and drugging and also relate it to black bikers. Now, part of the strength, part of what you're going to grow in, all of you, is how do you relate it? We're not telling you specifically how to relate it. We're saying that you have to relate it. Okay? But your creativity is like, I don't know how such and such relates to 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old black youth, okay, or 30-year-old, 40-year-old. I'm 56. Sure, my metaphors will be old, but I want you to be able to take them and bring them into your own situation. And don't decide that because my metaphors are old, that the principle underneath doesn't work. And it will stretch you. That's what you're going to do. That's why people will come here, you know, that you take a topic. I mean, Sophia, what's your topic?
For the article this week?
Yeah.
The dream accessible.
Sure. Come again, I didn't hear it.
I said the dream accessible.
The dream is all I'm hearing, and there's, I think your mother's in the background. Okay, what's that? Sophia, what's the Dream Big Festival? It's great. Sounds like wonderful.
So my mom's on the phone, and you said that you could hear her, so I'm typing.
Okay, great. Thanks.
More expensive than the round stuff.
Okay. Okay. So, all right, so she's going to talk about the Dream Big Festival. I'm not suggesting she do this, but I'm just saying off the top of my head, in the middle of talking about the Dream Big Festival, I'm sorry, Sophie, you can go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't know it was so long.
Okay, she could make a relationship between the Dream Big Festival and the Panthers and Malcolm X. Or could contrast the kinds of things that people are articulating on the Dream Big Festival with the kinds of things that we read about in Martin Luther King's own words and own speeches. Okay? So it's like, are the dreams of youth today, matching? Well, we hoping our people move where we're not scratching. See, there's a whole big difference between a dream that says, where little black boys and little good black white girls and boys, they can hold hands and we won't be judged by the content, by our skin, but the content of our character. That's one dream. Another dream says that we ain't going to be kowtowing and bowing and pretending, based on oppression. We're going to be standing up and be men and take our rightful place. That's also a dream. I wonder, does that get reflected in the Dream Festival? I wonder what people are talking about that and articulating it as clearly as he did in that I've been to the mountaintop speech. So, bam, here's something that she's covering, and then she's relating it to something, his own words way back when, or bringing in a contrast between the Panthers, Republic of New Africa. She could compare and contrast. You understand what I want you to understand as writers is just how you choose to blend it. You know, and I'm looking forward to it. The key, though, what we're not having is we're not having little sound bites. This. It's how do you make this relevant? What will be new and fresh is your own eyes. How do you relate it? That you have to relate it is a requirement. That's ours, because we know that that's key in terms of what you got to learn out of the course and what you got to learn from Aya. How you do that, hey, I'm looking for all the creativity. I'm looking for the different ways. I'm looking for the new connections. So the bottom line is, you do not have to. You can really, you can talk about the topics of the day, whether they're the hot topics of the day, whether they're sports or not sports, or whether they're economy or not economy. You know, you don't have to shy away from that. At the same time, believe me that people don't just go to papers based on their dealing with what's hot. Okay. The folks will go to ESPN when they want to know the latest scores, and when they want to know the latest scuttlebutt, or the 25 words or less of what somebody shot and what and whatever. But when they want more in-depth analysis, how many of you have ever read the New York Times? Well, it's a good idea to go to the library and pick up the New York Times, okay? I want to contrast USA Today and the New York Times. What's the difference? Or the Washington Post?
It's much longer. It's bigger and more detailed.
You want to, people go to read the New York Times and they know they're going to have a more in-depth article, okay? And that's why they pick it up. Well, they just want a blurb of what the headlines of the day. They pick up USA Today and they rifle through it and they got the headlines, but they know they don't have any analysis. But the New York Times sells. People read it. Other people read. Have you ever heard of the magazine called Forbes? Okay. You might check it out. Financial Times. Okay. That is, people don't just go to read print or media magazines based on headlines only. Okay. They also go because there is interesting analysis that they won't find other places. So what will be different is you got black youth relating topics, old and new topics, to their circumstances and situations, and their view of our people's circumstances and situations. That's what's going to be new about it. That's what's going to be exciting. That's what will continue to draw people. All right. So the question, and this will be a question that you can struggle with together, okay, whether I'm here or not, whether is the question that you're going to push each other on is, how do you relate this to our people? Sometimes it's like comparison and contrast. It's like, wow, this is not even a subject that's dealt with among our people. Well, is that a good thing or not? Should we actually begin to talk about this thing or include this? Okay. Are y'all with me on this? Y'all, this is beyond Abdullah. I mean, I'm using this situation with Lance Armstrong, but I want to set the tone for this writer's meeting and for you, Safia, as a person who will be facilitating most of this thing coming together. But everybody, it's like, you want to, you know, if I want to talk about knitting, okay, if I want to talk about health supplements, you know, if I want to talk about, you know, computer viruses, okay, wow, so here's a computer virus, and it does this, and it does that, and whatever. In it, it's like, so here's a computer virus that affects thousands of people's computers all around the world. Good. And I report that. How might I relate? Y'all just play with me here just for a minute. And I know we only have a minute. How might I relate a story about the latest computer virus to black people? Give me some lines.
Okay, you can use an example. You can say that that their computer will be no more if you get to test it.
All right, that's fine. Keep going. Dig deeper. Question: Are black computer users more vulnerable to the virus? If so, why? Okay. Is there any particular habits that black computer users have that others don't?
See, like that, Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. That to me is like kind of weak. Like it seems like a stretch.
You're going to stretch. See, what I'm saying is I'm just asking questions. I'm not saying that's what you ought to do, but I'm throwing out questions about how do you do it? How do you connect it? You might find, for example, I mean, that's what people do research all the time and say, you know what? We find that women computer users tend to do this. Male computer users tend to do this. Black computer users tend to do that. And those are legitimate. That's legitimate research and legitimate questions. And there are differences. Now, sometimes there may not. I know there have been differences in terms of now you have female savvy users, you have male savvy users, you have casual users. All I'm saying to you is, do not throw it out without at least stretching. If you don't like that one, come up with another one. But you have to come up with one. Okay. It may be that, you know, you want to make sure that black computer users, because this affects everybody, and this will definitely affect black computer users as well as others, so you want to make sure that the word gets out. And, here's an angle. Given the disparity of income, it definitely, the cost of this destruction will be even more so to us, the impact of it, because, you know, the money it will cost to have to repair it when a little prevention can, you know, it's kind of like black people, given where we are on the economic totem pole, can ill afford to ignore this because the cost of repairing what this virus does already is estimated that it's going to cost into the billions. We, among everybody, can least afford to be among that number. So please take precautions. No, I hear what you're saying, and it just may sound desperate if you want to, but you got to do that. So we're going to be desperate, okay? We're going to be desperate then, okay? Because you're going to develop the skill of how do you start looking at things, okay, from its impact on us, okay? And it may be advantageous. For example, there are differences in terms of the number of black people who are webmaster, percentages of webmaster, percentages of folks who get training in HTML5 and other things like that. Okay. Well, here is a particular software that actually can be can help level the playing field. That's not desperate. That's true. Or what's the angle of this particular thing? You know, does this have a particular appeal? Just like, for example, there, you know, that there's differences in how black people and Hispanic people and white people, what their likes are in cars, you know, or clothes or music. And so given that, if you think you're talking about desperate, I want y'all to know how much those differences are studied, and people target advertisement based on those differences that you say are small and insignificant and desperate. Okay, that is, there have been projects where, called the PeerPod Project, where the first tennis shoe, the computerized tennis shoe, was created by a black inventor, okay, and the Aya Peer Power Project years ago interviewed him, had an exclusive interview with him. There were various different teams, and their job was to come up with a design and blah blah blah. So they talked to him, and they asked him. They said, "Why is your design of your tennis shoe so whack, so like pitiful?" He said, "Because I knew, because it was novel," and he was a black student at MIT, and what happens is when you put your foot in the tennis shoe, it automatically adjusts the pressure based on your activity. So if you're walking is one thing, if you're playing ball is another thing, and it automatically adjusts. So it's the first computerized tennis shoe. He said, "I knew this would be picked up in science magazines. I didn't have money to just run this as straight big advertisement, but I knew we could market it, we could have it in those magazines, and people would have interest. So the first buyers would be people who look at science magazines. So we designed the shoe that to appeal to them, and then based on the money we'd make for that, then we would then redesign the shoe, the external part, so that it would speak to a black audience or a more what they call urban audience. So I want you to understand, here is a black man making a computerized tennis shoe that's available to anybody, and he took into consideration the interest, the likes, the tastes of those people, predominantly white, who are going to be typically nerdish, who will want a plain Jane tennis shoe. And he was laughing because the kids, they jumped on and they said, man, this design is right. He said, y'all, I know it. I know. I'm with y'all. He said, let me tell you why it was done like that. So I hope y'all feeling me with this. Okay? These differences are taken, people take them in consideration. And you will too. And part of the growing is how you do it and do it with flair and do it such that it makes sense. Okay? And here's the question. If you can't relate it to our people, then it may be an article that you write and put in your own personal bag, but it is not one that's going to be published, okay? Unless you figure out how to relate it to our people in some kind of way. Now, you're left with your creativity. But if I took a job working for a newspaper, or let's go back to that piece when I was editor for Southern Exposure. I was, and Julius Nyerere is one of my favorite people in the world. He was past president of Tanzania, okay? And I'd done a lot of research on him in college, and I wanted to write about it. But I couldn't. It didn't fit with what that paper was about, okay, at that time. Now, over time, one of the issues came where we talked about that, and I could relate it. But because it's a subject that I'm interested in and have written about, if I can't also have it fit what the agenda of the paper is, it becomes a wonderful piece of writing for me. But it doesn't hit the paper. Durant Show didn't hit Southern Exposure. Okay. I think of being there 2 years, I had one article in there that spoke to what I really was totally about. I mean, I was really geeked about it. I mean, I liked other stuff that I was doing. But I want you to understand that because you are interested in it doesn't mean, if you can't relate it, it doesn't fit the objective of the paper, then it doesn't mean it's not valuable. It just means it don't get published. Now, y'all give me some feedback on that and we can get out of here because we're 8 minutes over time. Does that make sense? Or does that scare you? Or is that whack? Or is that terrible? Or, you know, are you with that? Come on. Now, okay, and I want you to get excited and see how the whole world can be seen and told, and stories told, relating them to our people. Our people abroad, man, our people abroad. You got black people in technology, you got black people in biking, you got black people in any and everything. Get to know it and hook it to it. All right, I gotta go too. Thank y'all. Please take note of this. We got to have a tech time because I want to show you how. In fact, download Format Factory and you can reduce the size of your recordings tremendously by saving them in WME format. Okay? All right, we'll do that later on. Take care. Bye now.
All right, Bob.
All right, Tavon. Get to work, man. Don't be slouching on this thing. You write Allende and then go ahead. If he doesn't decide, you decide and you get to work.
Okay.